Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, April 14th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the third Sunday of Easter. Easter blessings be upon you. It is such a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, this gift that we get in this unique moment in time where we can communicate like this. And so let's just jump right in. Let's begin the way that we do here. Let's start by taking in the breath of life and giving God thanks for every breath and celebrating what is good. And so as you breathe, call to mind those things that fill you with joy and gratitude, the people and the places, the situations, the opportunities, those things that have been, those things that have yet to happen, that you anticipate with great joy, all of it, just let it come to mind right now, and then lift it all up before our God and give thanks. This is the joy of our faith. And so in this spirit, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer. You can find that in the digital bulletin that comes along with the podcast. Just go over to the left edge of where you found today's podcast. Right below that line, you'll see a header that says Sermon Notes, and there's an icon there. Just click on that, and that digital bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Holy and righteous God, you raised Christ from the dead and glorified him at your right hand. Let the words of Scripture, fulfilled in Jesus, your Son, burn within our hearts and open our minds to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Amen. Today's gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 24th chapter, verses 36 through 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Gracious and merciful, great God Almighty, we call out to you and we pray. God, be with us in this moment of consideration as we pause to think about your good word, which lives among us, is offered to us as a gift, an eternal gift. So we pray, meet us here, open our minds, soften our hearts. We pray, God, save us from distraction and misinterpretation. Help us to hear what you're saying to us as a church and as individuals. Come to us now, we pray. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, once again, I'll give you the weather report here on Pensacola Beach. Here's a shocker. It's absolutely gorgeous here today. Like 74 degrees, clear sunshine. We had some rain move through earlier in the week, so it's got that super clear sky. People are out doing their thing. The dogs are being walked. Kids are getting ready to go over to the beach. It's beautiful. It's just a normal day here on Pensacola Beach. And it's quiet. The sanctuary is super quiet today. And I usually come in and I lock the door, which then has me mindful as I read and reread the stories of the resurrection appearances of Jesus. These days, which felt like anything but normal. I don't know that we can fully appreciate how afraid and disoriented the disciples were in these first days following the death and then in the resurrection of Jesus. The story we get in Luke's gospel today, it picks up right after a story that may be familiar to a lot of you. The story, we often call it the Emmaus Road. The story that takes place in the afternoon of Easter Sunday, where there's a couple of travelers heading home trying to escape the tension and the chaos that is in Jerusalem. So they're making their journey home, and these two are joined by a stranger. But this isn't any stranger. This stranger is more brilliant than any rabbi they've ever encountered before. And so the conversation is so great that the miles fly by and they look up and they're home. And the sun is setting, they invite the stranger in and they sit down together at table. And when they break the bread, they realize that this is no stranger. It's Jesus that has been traveling with them the whole time. And as soon as they realize it's Jesus, he's gone. And they realize they need to get back and tell the others about it. And so that's where we pick up today's story. They're telling the others about what's happened, And while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Recall last week in the very famous story, we often refer to it as the story of doubting Thomas in John's gospel. What does he do? When Jesus appears behind the locked door, what does he say? "Peace be with you." He gives them this pastoral blessing. Why does he give them the pastoral blessing? Because he knows them. He may know them better than they know themselves. He says, "Peace be with you. I know that seeing me may terrify you." And he asked them two important questions. He asked them because they're good questions for spiritual growth and development. But in the moment, I think he asked them these questions as part of "Peace be with you." He asked this two-part question. Why are you frightened? Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? He knows why. He gives us an indication of that because the first words out of his mouth are, "Peace be with you." But now I need you. I know you're going to freak out seeing me, but now I need you to think about why. Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise? If I'm standing here on a beautiful morning on Pensacola Beach in this locked sanctuary that is just peaceful, and I'm expecting things to just be normal, in air quotes, and then all of a sudden someone appeared, and it was Jesus, I wouldn't be like, "Hey, buddy, you have a seat." I would very likely be frightened. I very likely doubt my own eyes. I would very likely doubt my own sanity in that moment. And Jesus does for them what is also something you might do for someone who's in the middle of, say, a panic attack or having a crisis of anxiety. He grounds them in the reality of the moment. For someone who's experiencing a panic attack or having an anxiety situation, it's often helpful to have them name things that are physically present in their space. This is a table. This is a microphone. That's a church pew. I orient myself right here in things that I can see and touch and say, okay, I have not lost it. I've not gone off somewhere else. Jesus does that for them. They were startled and terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And he asked them those questions, and then they think about that. And as they're thinking about why they're frightened and why the doubts arise, he begins to help them. "Look at my hands, you see? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. It's me. It's I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But in the midst of it, this is just see ourselves in the disciples. And I think it's helpful for us to read this text this week after considering Thomas's doubt. Because what does Luke tell us here? While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. Why? Because Jesus had physically resurrected from the dead. And I know it's probably easier for us to say, well, that's maybe some form of figurative speech. That's just a metaphor. I don't believe that is at all what any of the gospel writers are trying to communicate to us. It doesn't make sense. That reading doesn't make any sense. Honestly, I think it's nonsense. Because they very clearly, they show the very human reaction that the disciples have at the sight of Jesus. And they immediately begin to do that work. "I'm hallucinating. This is a ghost. There has to be a reason that I'm seeing Jesus in front of me." And it can't possibly be that he's physically resurrected from the dead. Oh, but what does Jesus say? Yep, I'm not a ghost. And then he asks this very important spiritual question. He says, have you anything here to eat? And he does this, again, as part of his peace be with you, his pastoral care. See, it's me, my hands, my feet, my side, my physical, my flesh and bones. And here's something else a ghost doesn't do. Do you have anything here to eat? How about some broiled fish? And it's not just the action of hospitality. Luke takes the time to say he ate it in their presence. He did it for them to, again, affirm his physical resurrection to them. Luke tells us to affirm for us. They really saw this. That's the accounting. That's how the story is told. It's a big deal. And I think it's important. Again, as I stand here in a place of comfort and orientation for me, of peace and quiet and beauty, doing the thing that maybe I enjoy doing most in my life, which is reflecting on these stories and telling you about it. In the midst of all of that comfort and A to B to C, when all that gets taken up into the whirlwind, we need to ask ourselves, why am I frightened? And why do doubts arise? And then to be reminded of the things that are right in front of us that can give us clues and to help us figure our way forward, which he does. As he begins to calm them, to get them past the shock of his physical presence, after he asks them, is there anything to eat? They find the piece of fish for him. He eats it in their presence, excuse me. And then he said to them, now he can teach them. He's calmed the waters. The peace has come into the room. He can begin to teach them. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day. And I'll pause right there. This notion of him opening their minds. He didn't cast a spell on them so that their minds were opened. He stands there as the embodiment of everything he'd been teaching. It was one thing a few weeks ago, before all this, it was one thing for him to say, destroy this temple, and on the third day I will raise it up. It was one thing for him to say that the Messiah must suffer and die and be raised from the dead. It's another thing to stand before them as the risen Messiah and for them to go, oh, now I get it. Oh, this is my body which is broken for you. Now I get it. This is my blood, a cup of a new covenant. Take and drink. Oh. Now their minds are opened. Now they realize everything that he taught them, every risk that they took, every mile that they walked, the times when they were nearly stoned or shoved off a cliff or imprisoned, the times when they thought that he might himself have been losing it, he stands before them, the resurrected Christ, and their minds are opened. And in this state of open-mindedness, then he explains to them why it is their minds have been opened. Recall last week at the end of John's telling of that story, he says, I tell you this story so that you might come to believe that Jesus is Lord. And also in the telling of that story, you remember he commissions them. He says to them, if you go out into the world and you forgive sin, it's forgiven. And if you retain it, it's retained. Luke says it this way. I'll jump back a little bit. Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead. See, I'm right here on the third day. And that repentance and forgiveness of sin, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. They were witnesses. They were firsthand witnesses. And so we certainly could be like Thomas and say, unless I see the hands and the side, I won't believe. And then maybe we encounter or engage with the questions he asked at the beginning of today's reading. Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise? Are we afraid to believe in the good news of Jesus? And if so, why does that make us afraid? Do doubts arise? Sure. But why? How is it then that we can hear the story and receive the same peace that those disciples did? Have you anything to eat? He asked them. Well, I believe this, that the church offers the same comfort that our Lord offers the first disciples. The church offers the physical presence of Jesus. Right? And I know there's been theological debate over this. Under the forms of bread and wine in our communion, we encounter the broken body and the poured out lifeblood of our Lord Jesus. And in it, he says, peace be with you. Take and eat. Take and drink. It's no cheap substitute. It's not. He's present in every word of Scripture. He's present in our sacraments. That's not closed-minded. And I think that's one of the things that the cynical world tries to say, that people of faith are parochial or narrow-minded. And I say no, quite the opposite. It is an open mind that can receive the sacraments in that way, that can receive sacred text in that way. That's an open-minded position. It's a narrow mind that tries to use the language of the academy or the cynic to say nonsense. In return to them, I say, why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise? See his wounds. Touch his side. Know that he is Lord. And when you have found that peace, when your minds have been open, you won't be able to do anything other than go out into the world and proclaim his name to all nations. It is such good news. And it's not always easy to hear. But when you allow yourself to be frightened by it a little bit, when you allow it to stir up some questions in your soul, and then when you pause long enough to take him in, into your heart and your mind and your body, you will find that it is eternal and encouraging good news. To which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. You, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Moses, God of Mary and Martha and Peter and James and John and the disciples, God of the unnamed faithful, we call to you and we confess, O God, that so often we fall short. So often we willingly and willfully walk away from you. So often we are frightened and doubtful. But we thank you for your grace that when we turn around, you are there. When we extend the hand, you pick us up and you call us home. And so we're just humbled and we're grateful. We're thankful for every good and perfect gift that comes from your hand. And in this moment, God, we pray over this, your good world. The world that seems to have become cynical and cold. At least on the surface, it looks that way. But yet we have a sense that there's more. We know that there is more. There is a goodness and a kindness and a grace and a peace that abides and abounds in humanity. So we pray your blessings upon all humankind, those in positions of power, those in the high places. Convict them of their spiritual wickedness. Call them to repentance, to use their skills for your good and for your glory. And for the downtrodden and the brokenhearted, O God, hope and peace and love and joy, all of it poured out graciously, so that we would all come to know that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises, all the prophecy, that Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. And there are the things of our hearts, the joys and the concerns for each and every one of us as individuals. Our frailties and those moments of boldness. Many of us keep a list. Either we write it down on a prayer list or it's the thing that we run over and over again in our minds. You know the list. And so we take a moment, dear God, to share that list with you, to trust you with it, to hand it over, and to make a quiet space to know that you consider that list and to listen for your answers. We break our silence. And we thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet, the gift of your presence here with us. And in the assurance of your presence, we pray that you hear us as we say together a prayer that you taught us. Hear us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us do so with a renewed sense of assurance that God is with us, stands among us, that the Spirit poured out on the disciples passes down generation to generation, and it is a gift, it is an inheritance that we are trusted with. The presence of God with us, God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.